Good morning and welcome to worship this day. It has been quite a week for all of us, for a whole host of reasons. In times like these, worship is especially important as it helps us to rest and to refill and to refocus. It can be tempting to let the things of this world dominate our hours and our thoughts and our lives. But our regular participation in the worship of God reminds us that no matter what, God is working to redeem this world and to usher in the kingdom of God where all people are welcome, all are fed, all are clothed, all are healed, and all are loved. So as we gather for worship on this day, we breathe deep, letting go of everything that distracts us from Jesus the Christ, who is our hope and our Redeemer. Today in worship, we begin a three-week series on giving. Give thanks, give life, and give generously. The series begins today with a reading from Psalm 95 and a conversation with a member of this congregation who is on our stewardship committee, Julie Green. And in our conversational sermon today, Julie will reflect on God's abundant blessings in her life in both good times and in difficult times. For Julie, gratitude for all of life, the joy and the pain. Gratitude is an important spiritual discipline that reminds her of God's constant presence in her life. So as we stand in the midst of our own collective joy and pain, we turn ourselves to worship God in gratitude for what is, and in hope for what is to come. Let us pray together. Ever-present God, we thank you for the many gifts of your love, your abundance, and your eternal presence with us. Even for the painful gift of fear, which reminds us of our humanity and your divinity. Into the mystery of your love, we entrust ourselves to you this day. Dress us in the armor of your light and keep us faithful to your mission, your kingdom here on earth. Be with us this hour and draw us closer into your heart. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
To the mountains? Have you ever gone up to the top of the mountains where you could see the clouds and see the sky and the land really, really far? It's really cool, isn't it? And have you looked down when you've gone to the mountains and you can see how way, 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 way down it is to the very bottom? I know. Some of you think that that's super cool, and some of you might be like me and be a little bit nervous about how very far down that is. But what I want to talk to you about today is how sometimes our feelings are like the mountains. Sometimes we are super happy and excited and we're having a great day and everything's going our way. And we feel like we're at the tip top of the mountain. And then some days, we have a not so very good day and things just aren't going right. And sometimes on those days, we feel like we're at the very bottom of the mountain, down in the valley. We all have those days. We all have days where we're at the tip top of the mountain and days where we're at the very bottom and just having an icky kind of day. And sometimes, a lot of times, most days, right? We have those days somewhere in between. Our scripture for this morning reminds us that God is with us from those very tip-top mountaintop experiences, and God is with us in the really low times too. And God is with us in all of the in-between times. Can you think of a day when you were at the top of the mountain and you know that God was with you? I know I can. Like the day when my kids and I got our new puppies. It was almost a year ago, and we love them so much. It was a super, super, super happy day around here. Everybody was excited. And we were so glad that God helped bring us and our puppies together and that God made such sweet little doggies for us and we are super happy. And then other days, yep, we have those kind of valley days way down at the bottom of the mountain. I can think of lots of days like that in my life. Like the day my grandma died, or days when I did really, really bad in school and got in trouble with my teacher, or days when I felt like maybe my friends weren't being super nice to me and I wondered if they were still gonna be my friend the next day. Yep, I've had some of those way down low, icky days too. But I can remember that God is with me in those days. The day my grandma died, I was driving home from work that day and the sun was shining so bright. And I knew that my grandma had just met Jesus. And I was so excited and so happy, even though I was having a really sad day. Or one of those days when I was feeling kind of icky and really super, super lonely. And guess what? Some of my friends surprised me and showed up in my doorstep. They drove an hour just to come see me for just a few minutes. That was God's way of reminding me that God still loved me and God was with me. I hope that you can remember this too, especially during this season, our season of gratitude, when we're thinking of all of the things that we can be thankful for and we're telling God those things. When we say our prayers in the morning and at night and all during the day, we're telling God, thank you. I hope when you look around and you see nature and when you see a big tall mountain or maybe a hill, or maybe when you're riding your bike or your skateboard or your scooter and you go way down to the bottom of the hill, it'll be a little reminder for you that God's with you. God's with you in your super happy days and in your icky days and your sad days and all the days in between. I hope you remember that this week and in all the weeks to come. See you soon. Spirits together in an act of prayer to our Lord and Savior, our God and Creator, the Spirit who calls us together even through space and time. Let us pray. Each morning we arise, O Lord, wondering what the day will bring. For some of us, there are many wonderful things to anticipate. New opportunities to celebrate. We smile at the sun and revel in its warmth. Even in the midst of trouble, your love comes through to us in the most amazing ways. For our friends and families who are experiencing great joy at this time, we offer our prayers
to support them, to come alongside of them, to celebrate and to experience the grace that is working its way through our days, even now. Lord of mercy and hope, may the warmth of your restoring and transforming love flood over these loved ones and through them to others, so that even in these days, joy may abound. We celebrate. We recognize the awe and wonder of your grace, but we realize that there still are many for whom pain and hurt seem to be the daily encounter. Hope for something better is a distant vision for them, Lord. And so we pray that you would be with our sisters and brothers and their pain. We ask that your Spirit would surround them with your healing love as they continue ever onward, step by step, through life. Give them courage and peace. We pause in this time to name them with our words and in our hearts. Hear our prayer, O Lord. We give you thanks for your healing mercy. We stand in awe of your uncontainable, unstoppable, wild love, which is constantly working to transform, redeem, reclaim, to eke out that resurrection hope that we need each day. As a people, may we claim the mark of Easter, even in a season where the darkness grows and daylight diminishes. Help us. Strengthen us. Give us courage. Be with us as we boldly claim and proclaim your kingdom come, even now. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Lead us ever onward into your kingdom. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Psalm 95, 1 through 7. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's nearing midnight on the last night of December. There's an old man sitting in the darkness just to remember. He served with honor in two different wars. He killed 40 men or more. And he's hoping that they might forgive him on the other side. Well, the leaves are falling as we find ourselves in transition. There's a mother who's just found out that she's in full remission. She sheds a tear for her family, but then she wonders why does she get to live when so many others have fought and died. As we turn the pages throughout the years, we all share the same hopes and fears. Yeah, everyone has a story to tell. Yeah, everyone has a story to tell.
The words from the 95th Psalm, they remind us that when we come into the house of God, we are to come with thanksgiving and with gratitude. And that's exactly how we want to start out this season of stewardship, is in a spirit of gratitude. We want to remember that all that we have and all that we are comes from God. And so today, as we begin thinking about Scripture, as we begin to open ourselves to hear a word from the Spirit about gratitude, our theme is give thanks. And thinking about Psalm 95, remembering those words, let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, I couldn't help but want to talk to my friend Julie Green about the theme of giving thanks. What does it mean to live a life of gratitude? And so I'm here with Julie. Julie, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
And thanks for being our guinea pig in the first of a three-part series, conversations about stewardship, give thanks, give life, give generously. So today we're thinking about Psalm 95 as we kind of frame our conversation. But more importantly, during this time of worship, we're going to hear from Julie a little bit about her story. Who were her teachers of gratitude? Where did she learn about that concept as a spiritual practice? And how is God teaching her now as she grows and learns more each and every day about gratitude? So Julie, let's start out at the very beginning. Let's talk about some of your first teachers. Who taught you about gratitude or about generosity?
So the first person that comes to my mind is my mom. She is such a fixture for everyone around her. She's just always giving and, you know, if not even in just her church, but in my life and in our friends' lives and family's lives, where can she be giving? And that translated into us finding our church home, which was at Greystone when I was very small. And gratitude and generosity was such a foundational piece of that. Growing up in Sunday school and then the youth, all of our activities were centered around looking outside ourselves, and projects and service and how we could, you know, be ministers outside the walls of the church, and give back to our community. And so I think growing up in that environment, having, you know, people like my mom and even my sister, Annie, and the work that she does, and having those people around me to constantly look to people, whether it was my Sunday school teacher or someone in my home, kind of keeps you in check when you see people around you, you know, practicing that as a young, small, and growing person.
Those mission trips that you talk about, those experiences of putting feet to faith, right? When you're learning about gratitude and generosity, were those like, bring me on that journey with you. How were they? Were they easy? Were they difficult? Like, what are some of the specific memories from those things?
So I, as a person, like me personally, they were not always easy for me. I can vividly remember being in the Salvation Army soup kitchen as a first grader and realizing that there was a bus that took my friend from school there. And I had grasped onto the concept, oh, not everybody lives like me. Like not everybody comes home to parents, a home, and meals. And so I just, that always stands out in my mind. And that continued, you know, the service projects that we did and the youth, you know, outings that we had and things that we participated in. I think that being in that uncomfortable place of, you know, when you're giving generously to whether it's a group of people or a ministry or any kind of organization, where you are looking outside yourself and you're seeing life in many different facets. I think that that is unsettling for, you know, young youth, and kids. And I also think that that's good. I think sometimes that uncomfortable and that that uneasy, leads to spiritual growth, and personal growth. And it makes I just kind of always gained a hunger for it. Like once you've experienced that and you grow through that and you know that that is something that in the moment is hard, but brings you joy. You just kind of start to yearn for that and you look for that. So it did become, I will say, easy. I never really wanted it to feel normal. When I was doing those, you know, kinds of projects that felt uncomfortable, but, And then some of them were just, you know, us youth goofing off at the food bank, you know, piling bags of flour into boxes and, you know, getting yelled at to quit breaking them. But, you know, it's, I think it was a healthy mixture of the two that really helped me to grow.
Yeah. And, you know, in preparing for this conversation, mm-hmm. It was really important to you that if you're going to come on screen, right, if you're going to be on YouTube talking about giving thanks,
yeah.
It's not going to be that, I remember you saying, it's not going to be that surface level kind of platitude right. of like, you're having a hard time, give thanks, you know, or like start, do a gratitude journal and yeah. nothing that is much deeper than that. And I hear that same sentiment kind of coming out as you talk about being in those uncomfortable spaces or being stretched outside of yourself, and how gratitude kind of emerges mm-hmm. out of those less comfortable, disorienting experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that that really resonates with what I find in Psalm 95. In verse 4, the psalm says, "In God's hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are God's also." And the King James Version calls the depths of the earth, it says, in the deep places. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about your words, uncomfortable places, or being stretched outside of myself, that really resonates with what I see here in Scripture about those deep places. You know, that's within God's grip mm-hmm. as well. And so I wonder if you would feel comfortable
sure.
Being vulnerable enough to share with us what some of those deep places for yeah. you have been.
I feel very strongly that, you know, when someone says practicing gratitude, that's very easy to, oh, well, I wake up in the morning and I write down three things I'm grateful for, and then my day is set and it's wonderful. And that works for a lot of people. But for me, I think that when you, I mean, especially with that scripture, I mean, gosh, the deep places, because for me, that is kind of the seed for gratitude, is those places, those deep, what was it? The deep.
Just the deep places.
The deep places. Yeah. Yeah, that.
Isn't that profound?
Yeah. I mean, that's, yes, that's going to stick with me, because I think that the places in my life, and, you know, look, we've all been in the places of family discord or illness or financial problems or, the list could go on.
Like worry. Know? That's a worry. Big one right now, right?
Yes. Worry.
Just loneliness, worry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. And I think, for me, my mind goes to my husband, James, who was active duty for 8 years in the Navy, and he was on an aircraft carrier. So for about 3.5 years, 90% of the time, I think we did some like crazy calculation, it was 85%, 90% of the time he was gone. Mm. And we had Mason, it was just Mason at the time, and I was working full time. And, you know, later on in those years, he was deployed for 9 months. And whenever I like think deep places or uncomfortable, my mind always goes there. And it's funny to think about that time, because gratitude existed in so many places in the very same breath that uncomfortable and almost desolate, you know, because this person who I love and who is my partner, you know, and not even the logistical of like the raising of, you know, Mason and all of that, but like my person mm-hmm. is not there. And I just remember being so caught up in the generosity of what he was doing mm-hmm. for right. our country, our family, and how passionately he did it. But also, I mean, I can just remember it like physically hurting, like knowing that we were months away from any kind of, you know, togetherness. And it was terrible. Like, I'm not even going to, you know, try yeah. and act like that was anything other than one of like the loneliest, like you just said, yeah. it was really lonely. But also I had such amazing things happen during that time. You know, we were away from family, but, I built this tribe, around me, and they took such great care of me. And then of course, you know, at the time, little Mason was like 3 years old, but I had all of these things happening in my life that were hard and uncomfortable. And then I had all of these other things that, like I just said, in the same breath were so joyful. And, you know, going back to what I said, the things that people have been through, you know, whether it's what worry that mm-hmm. you were just saying, or something like I'm talking about, I think the thing that I have been most grateful for in my faith and in my spiritual practices is that that's okay. Mm-hmm. That you, I've had some really uncomfortable conversations with God in those moments. I've never really treated prayer like a one way. Mm-hmm. It has always been conversations. And so that for me, having the safe space growing up to be able to do that, I think set me up really, really well to be able to get through those. And know that those tough conversations with God and those really deep places, they make it, you know, I can remember him coming off the plane and it just made the joyful moments become that much more joyful, and they spur you towards so much more because you have let that in. Mm-hmm. You've let that uncomfortable. You felt that. You just use the word vulnerable. And I think that's a really good word because I think, you know, there's a tendency when someone in our life is hurting or they are lonely, you just want to make it better for them. And I think sometimes it's just the person saying, like, this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Because it's not always going to be hard. And maybe that is what you're saying to God. Because I had a lot of those conversations, you know, and God telling me, like, it's not always going to be this way. So yeah, I think it's learning that joy and pain, or joy and loneliness, or joy and worry, those things exist sometimes in the same breath, like just the same breath, leads you to bigger gratitude, I guess.
Yeah. You know, listening to you talk about that, especially kind of the two-edged lesson,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Or experience that's in some of those deep places. You know, like a lot of deeply spiritual things, there's a mountain and there's a valley,
yeah.
right? There's joy and there is pain, there is suffering and there is relief.
Right.
You know, all those things often go together, and so often God teaches us. You know, as I'm thinking about the psalm and thinking about, you know, what do we want to say here today?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's like a call and response kind of thing happening
right.
with us and God when we're in
yes.
these moments. And if we can't be authentically who we are with our call or our response, then we can't expect authenticity on the other side. So all that to say, like, if God is generous with us and our response is gratitude,
mm-hmm.
right? Or if our response is to say thanks, like Anne Lamott's book, Help, Thanks, mm-hmm. Wow, right? Help.
Yeah.
How many times do we say that prayer over
right.
and over again? And sometimes we're stuck in help. Let's be honest about that. But then when God comes through, as God does, one way or another,
right?
You know, our response is thanks. And I don't know about you, but when I have been in those deep places in my own life, thanks doesn't feel like enough.
No.
Right?
No.
And it's not enough. And so one of the ways that I have felt very convicted lately about those deep spaces and saying thanks all the time is not just to say it, but to try to live it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like when you've been in your deep places
yeah.
and you've had a tribe that comes around
mm-hmm.
you, I know that your response has been to learn how to embody that tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you're much better. Your muscles
yeah.
are stronger than they
right.
were before because you've been there.
Yep.
And so I think that's a spiritual practice of learning how to flex those generosity muscles with God and with one another.
I do agree. Yeah.
So thinking more, you know, you've told us some about your past. You've told us about who your primary teachers were about gratitude and generosity. You've talked some about some of those deep places in your life. I wonder if you might tell us, like, what's going on now with Julie and gratitude and Julie and giving thanks. Like, what does that look like in your life now?
You know, if you'd asked me this question, I bet a lot of people are thinking this. If you'd asked me this question a year ago, my answer
would have been
be
a little different.
So much
huh?
different. But gratitude for me lately, you know, even when we relocated back to Raleigh a couple of years ago, two and a half years ago, it's I mean, obviously with the pandemic going on and you talk about joy and gratitude, it becomes, your inkling is, it's like, well, it's hard to see that.
Yeah.
It's hard to see that right now. And it's hard to feel that right now. Yeah. Especially when for so many of us here at Greystone, I mean, I think I can speak for a lot of people saying like this, these walls are a place of joy and a place where we can come, you know, live that. Mm. And so it's been different. But I will say it has been a time of, there has been joy in whatever deep places, you know, this past year has brought. But for me, I think, you know, when we moved back to Raleigh and we rejoined here at Greystone and, you know, now I have James here, you know, we've got Walker. It's a lot different than it looked 5 years ago. It's exactly what you said. It's just living it. It's, you know, we've been through deep places and we've come, as you said, God always gets you to the other side, even if the other side doesn't look like what you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's been a lot of times in my life, especially as a military spouse, where what I thought it should look like is not at all where I ended up.
Right.
Married to someone in the military for one. but I think knowing that, you know, that God does get you there. The joy has just, it's been, I look back at some of the things that I've been able to do the past year, you know, even with our Sunday school class, like I have found such comfort and joy in backyard socially distanced coffee, like mm-hmm. with some of the other parents where we can get together and just kind of like breathe a sigh of relief and talk about what's going on. Now that I have this on film and recorded, I will never be able to deny it, but you know, the time with your kids that you're getting during this.
Wait a minute, repeat that.
I know exactly. Like ooh,
the quality time with yeah, your kids.
Yeah. With your family, because I think the instinct is to look at what we've lost or what we've missed mm-hmm. or what is lacking, that we've had to give up, if mm-hmm. you will. And so, as I said before, you know, when joy and pain or joy and loneliness exists at the same time, that's been true. You know, there's been plans that have been canceled and there's been just all of these things that have been, you know, kind of thrown at us the past year. But it's also, I think when you have learned, like you were saying, to flex those muscles, it does become a lot easier to find those places mm-hmm. where even in what may feel like a deep place, you know, we're also in a time of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's as a church family or as my family. And so it becomes a little harder to find, but I mean, I look at the ways that, you know, the meetings here at church that I've attended and like the coffee talks and it's the resilience has given me just immense gratitude that I'm able to be a part of all of that mm-hmm. and the ministering that happens through that. It's just been really beautiful. And I think it's compelling and mm-hmm. I hope that it's compelling, you know, to other people in the church to give back, because when you're talking about living it, mm-hmm. right. It's looking at ways, you know, it's looking around. It's like you're cleaning your house. Like, what can I do first?
Yeah.
Where can I be productive first? And so that looks different for everyone.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think from an early age, you're taught to put in the offering plate, right? That mm-hmm. goes around, which is, you know, that's the first thing you're taught. It's tithing. And
that's
think, you know, for me, it's also been a great lesson to where else? Like, where can I start to look and where can I start to find where I can take my, either I can take my gratitude or I can take my uncomfortableness
mm.
and find somewhere that I can really, steward or minister that here. You know, so my professional life in marketing and communications, I've, you know, tried to be very helpful with that with the church and step into places where that's helpful, you know, with social media and stuff. Hosting those coffee talks in the backyard, just like I said, it looks different for everyone, but I think that those are places where, you know, people who are sitting at home watching, you know, these sermons and these services at home, I think if you just, you know, you start to exist in that moment, it becomes a lot clearer, like I said earlier, to see spaces where you can live that,
yeah,
that gratitude.
One thing that you said sent my mind like chasing a rabbit. You know, we're talking about how there are places where we're naturally inclined to give.
Yeah.
And there are skills that we know that we have.
Right.
And so we're naturally inclined to kind of share those things. But there are definitely days where some of us wake up and we're like, gosh, I don't have anything to give today.
Yeah.
And those, I think, are really fun opportunities for mm-hmm. us to, like, you know, we're going with that fitness metaphor, right? Yeah. Stretch those muscles, lean into spaces that we haven't really worked out in the past, right? So yeah. Say you're a treadmill person, like get on the elliptical sometime and see yeah. how that feels, you know? So if you're somebody who grew up and the language of generosity that you learned is like time or act of service, these things start to sound like the love languages after a while.
But it works.
But it does. And I really think we're all works in progress, and God is calling us to be more and more and more generous in all kinds of different ways. And so I think it's a great place to start our conversation about stewardship and about giving, giving in a way that truly does honor God with all of who we are, not just our pocketbooks, but also with our time, yeah. our calendars, you know, our sense of humor, whatever it is right. that God has given us. But just to maybe begin each day this month with that, with a prayer. Help, thanks, wow, always works. But, but you know, maybe with a prayer that just sounds a lot like, you know, when I breathe in, I'm going to think thanks. And I'm going to really ask God to show me today what I am to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. And then my exhale is going to be, okay, God, now show me how to take that step
yep.
so that I can grow more and more and more like you.
Yep.
Julie, thank you for being with us today.
Oh my gosh. I've loved this. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being our guinea pig.
Of course.
And setting the bar high for these stewardship testimonies. It will be really fun to watch what God does in your life and to walk that journey alongside you, learning from you about how to be more generous and how to explore those valleys, those deep, uncomfortable places with a spirit of gratitude. Thank you.
This is the day that you have made. Whatever comes, I won't complain. For all my hope is in your name. And now your joy awaits my praise. I give thanks for all you have done. I will sing of your mercy and your love. Your love is unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. When I was down, you brought me out and set my feet on higher ground. So here I stand. You are my God, your faithfulness, my solid rock. I give thanks for all you have done, and I will sing of your mercy and your love. Your love is unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. I give thanks for all you have done. I won't forget all the battles you have won. Your love is unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. And as we lift our hands, the heavens open, heavens open. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us. And as we lift our hands, the heavens open. open, heavens open. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us. I give thanks for all you have done. Sing of your mercy and your love is unfailing. Lord, I am grateful. I give thanks for all you have done. I won't forget all the battles you have won. Your love is unfailing. Lord, I am grateful.
If you haven't already, you will soon receive mailing from the Stewardship Committee inviting you to partner with us as we make our financial pledges for the 2021 church year. In the mailing, you should have a letter from Pastor Chrissy, as well as a pledge card with a return envelope. We're asking each of you to pray about how God is calling you to support the church financially in 2021. Then fill out your pledge card and return it to the church. You can return your pledge to the church by mail, by dropping it off in person, or you can submit your pledge online using the link from the homepage, www.graystonechurch.org. Thank you for your commitment to partnering with us next year. There will be a leadership council meeting today at 4 p.m. via Zoom. All members are invited and encouraged to attend. Information, including the Zoom link, was in the e-news on Thursday. Contact the church moderator, John Meyer, or Pastor Chrissy if you have any questions. Children, be sure to check your mailbox for some special Thanksgiving coloring sheets from Pastor April. If you haven't already gotten them, they should be there soon. Youth are meeting in person this month in our usual location at 5 p.m. Don't forget your mask, chair, and water bottle. We look forward to seeing you then. Youth Choir will continue to meet virtually on Zoom at 7 p.m. Save the date, November 18th at 7 p.m. for our quarterly church conference. This will be held via Zoom. Among other things, we will be discussing the 2021 budget, the creation of a new ad hoc team called Spirit of Justice, and we'll hear from personnel committee and deacons who will be presenting a new job description for students and digital discipleship, as well as recommending a search committee for the church's affirmation.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.